Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You know, I was a little teed off about what you just did right there, Matt.
I'm sorry.
That's just wrong.
I know.
You did me wrong.
I know.
Yeah, you knew exactly what you were doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I still, if you have never seen this, and gee, look it up on YouTube.
Okay.
It is pretty amazing. It's Brett comes around, slides in hard, and all of a sudden Nettles kind of kicks him, and then Brett comes up, and it's a full, it's the kind of punch that you know that this guy doesn't fight a lot because it's the most telegraphed right hand, and Nettles ducks, but back then, you could actually throw a full, and this is not a regular season game. This is the ALCS to go to the World Series, right?
Yeah.
He rears back, throws this punch, misses Brett. They tackle each other. Guys are going after it. And then all of a sudden, they dust everybody off and go, okay, let's keep playing.
You know what it's similar to, Towny, in basketball when Kevin McHale clotheslined Kurt Rambis. I mean, he flat out clotheslined him on a break. He didn't get thrown out of that game. And like Morosi said in baseball, I bet you that now, that would get you, that'd get you at least 8 games. At least, I would think.
What was the game? And I remember seeing it in the Bad Boys 30 for 30, where Laimbeer basically throws Larry Bird down, but the way Larry Bird's knee looked, it looked like it was going to snap.
Yeah, and Bird got him back. Bird got him back. Laimbeer, boy, what a horse's behind he is. Bill Laimbeer, one of the all-time villains, and rightfully so, not a Bill Laimbeer friend. Hey, Towny, it's why I love the text line. That Rocky Apollo Creed fight, the first one, that was on the 4th of July, not Thanksgiving. My bad, and thanks to the 209 for that.
You know, I didn't want to say anything.
You had no idea.
You had no clue.
I don't care. I care about one thing. I care about a game that inspires, that educates, and changes the world.
All right.
It's the greatest game in radio, and it is called Make the Call.
We pose the questions. You provide the answers.
You're a lazy bastard.
Wicked cool awesome prizes are totally up for grabs.
On Make the Call. On 95.7 The Game.
Gianna, you remember this game.
I love this game.
Yes.
Are we going to have fun?
Yes.
Am I going to have fun?
Yeah. No.
Oh, no.
Tony and I both agree.
No.
Absolutely not.
Just give me some wholesome choices and I'm ready to go. That will not cause any friction at home.
And that's what I plan to do, because today we are playing Is This a Cocktail?
All right.
Or
okay.
Is this a porno?
Oh, come on.
Cocktail? Porno.
I gotta go get some water.
Go?
Hold on.
What are the categories?
I'm gonna make that coffee.
What are the
now.
Categories?
Cocktails and I don't even like to say it. Pornography.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. Let's start with Eugene in San Jose. Come on down for a little Make the Call.
Thank you for having me on.
Well, thank you for stopping by. All right, cocktail or porno? Liquid Viagra.
That's a cocktail.
That is correct.
Well.
Cocktail or porno? Grumpy old man.
That's porno.
That is a cocktail.
Damn. Thank you.
Hey, stay there. You're the leader in the clubhouse.
No one's watching Grumpy Old Man.
By the way.
I mean, come on.
By the way, my understanding is that people in the business call it porn, not porno. So If you want to pretend like you're with it, Townie, say porn.
It doesn't matter.
I'm not with it, Matt. These are things at night I watch the MLB Network. I have no idea what these things are.
Sure.
Let's go to Nick in Dublin. You ready, Nick?
I'm ready.
All righty. Is this a porn, as Steiny likes to say, or a cocktail? Miami Spice.
That's a porno.
That is a porno. All righty. Is this a cocktail or porno? Hitler sucks.
Come on.
Go with a drink. It's like cocktail.
Sorry, that is a porn. We are tied at one. This is not going to be easy. Woo! I'm starting to sweat.
It's not easy for me at all.
Let's go to Nico in San Francisco.
Hello.
Yep. Hey, what's
Nico,
up?
Nico, are you ready to go?
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
All right. Cocktail or porn? Sand in the crack.
Cocktail.
That is a cocktail.
That doesn't sound like a good one.
It sounds terrible.
Awful. Ooh.
Who's ordering that? Cocktail or porn? GoldenEye.
Porno.
That's a cocktail.
Oh.
Looks like Townie's got a good fastball changeup slider combination going.
Well, Townie, you only had two pitches.
Dealing. All right, let's go to Joey in Antioch.
What's up, Joey?
Hey, how you guys doing?
I'm doing wonderful,
Joey.
Yeah,
I'm doing all right in this segment.
Happy Friday.
Yeah.
Yes, happy Friday to you.
Friday.
Cocktail or porn? Babe Watch.
Come on.
Porn.
That is
of course.
Porn.
That was easy.
It was like a 5-star.
Like
that movie.
I like that.
Okay.
All right. Cocktail or porno? Bare ass in the park.
Cocktail.
That actually is a porno. Wow, we've got it. What's the tie right now at one?
I think it's one.
Yeah.
Four-way tie.
More compelling.
Let's go to Brad in San Carlos. Come on down, Brad.
We're burning the barn today.
Let's play.
That's a cocktail.
Tie.
Let's play.
Let's break the tie.
Let's break the tie. All right, here we go. You might have heard this before on the station. Afternoon Delight.
Gotta be porn.
That is actually a cocktail.
Wow.
Well, he's not breaking the tie.
Jeez. You know, I'm actually reassured by all the wrong answers. I really am. I've got some faith restored now.
Yeah, you feel better?
Yes,
okay,
I do.
Do I need to make this easier?
No. No, I like it.
All right, let's go to Kevin in Pleasanton. Kevin, you ready to play Make the Call?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready, man.
All right, let's see what you got here. Girth, wind, and fire. Is that a cocktail or a porno?
Got to go porno, right?
That is a porno. All right, to break the tie, because this is a big tie right here, and I need to open up some damn phone lines here. All right, is this a cocktail or a porno? Acid sex.
Let's go a cocktail.
Ah, that's a porno.
Jeez.
I mean, this might be the hardest list we've ever had. I mean, usually somebody rolls off 3 or 4.
At least.
Okay.
This is crazy.
Do we know what the prize is?
I haven't figured out the prize yet. I'm more on the list. I guarantee it'll be a good prize.
You can't guarantee that.
Chris,
you have no idea what it's going to be.
Chris in Antioch, it's now your turn for Make the Call.
No pressure.
All right, I'm taking in both categories right now, so I'm ready to go.
Are you feeling good?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Cocktail or porn? A dirt pipe milkshake.
Cocktail.
That's a porn.
Jeez, I can't believe. We're probably going into overtime. It's one of those games that you can't wait until it ends, and we're going into like double and triple overtime. All right.
We might be taking this up all the way to A's baseball.
Possibly.
Rich in Union City, come on in. Rich, I need somebody to at least get two.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Is this a cocktail or porn? Let's go with, Don't Tell Mommy.
That's a porn?
Of course.
That is a porn. Congratulations.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding.
All right, cocktail or porn? Twin Cheeks.
That's a porn.
We've got a new leader in the clubhouse.
Wow. I don't know whether to be impressed or concerned.
Hey, that's only two, Gianna.
That's true.
All right, let's see if we can expand this. Cocktail or porn? The leg spreader.
Okay. That's a cocktail.
That is a cocktail. I'm starting to like this guy. Cocktail or porn? Slippery panties.
That's a drink.
That is a drink. Oh, he is on fire.
I swear to God, Mom, I went into sports talk radio. I swear to God I did.
Okay, first of all, you didn't go into sports talk radio. You were a writer who somehow got into this business through the back door.
He's kind of an old school horse.
Through the back door, that's a porno.
Ding him again. All right, here we go. The ATM machine.
That's a porno.
That is a porno. On a Cinco de Mayo, this is the guy. All right, I got to find something good for you here. All right, if you get this, you no doubt are the winner. Cocktail or porno? The Lindsay Lohan Experience.
That's a cocktail.
You are the winner.
Wow.
You are the winner. God, you know what?
I'm glad my mom doesn't listen to this.
Seriously.
Thing I like about you is basically you're admitting you spend a lot of time at night on your computer and you drink a lot.
That's why I'm on the computer.
Hey, let's put you on hold. Congratulations. We got a great prize for you.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you.
Tony, those last 15 minutes are why I refuse to tell my dad how to use the 95.7 The Game app. Right there.
Why, you afraid your dad might like it?
Hey. He's 80 plus. He's 80
exactly.
plus.
He's using apps. It's awesome.
He's experienced.
With cocktails. You know what I mean? He had no clue about the other stuff.
Fireball Friday.
Hey, Gianna, can I give you one?
Sure, Townie. Fire away.
Let me see. Done in 60 seconds.
Cocktail.
Nope.
Give me one.
All righty. How about you want one?
Give me one.
Steiny wants one. Wait, what?
Steiny wants one.
Give me one.
Steiny wants one. Okay, let me find one good for Steiny.
I'm happy I didn't get that right. I'm totally
Steiny.
Okay with being wrong.
All right, Steiny, this is one for you and your dad. Lick her right.
That's a cocktail.
That is a cocktail. And that will do it for Make the Call. Always good to bring an oldie but goodie back. We always have a lot of fun with it on the Chris Townsend Show. Good to bring it back to afternoons. I know how much people dig it. But, yeah, it's a I'll tell you what. When I heard, Gianna, when I heard you say rain delay theater for the San Francisco Giants in Cincinnati.
Right.
This is really the worst. When you start, you know, where we are and going to head through summer, whenever you have – when you work in baseball and you work around these teams, whenever they head to the Midwest or to the South, it's brutal. It's like every night it's like storm clouds and they got these Dopplers now and they see it coming and you're like, oh, God.
Wow, that's just brutal, huh? That's just – how do you even survive that? I mean, you gotta get on planes and you gotta look at weather reports and then you have to maybe get to the stadium a little early and who can't, you have a lot of nerve, Townie, resting left and right. They spend half their time playing cards in the clubhouse.
I'm not talking about the players.
Who are you talking about?
Talk about people like me who'll have to be on the air straight for 4 to 5 hours covering straight with something that I would love to see you do.
Oh.
By yourself.
Oh, I'd love to do it.
Straight.
I'd love to do it.
I sense a challenge.
I'd love to do it. We turn back the clock and talk basketball history.
No.
Well, you won't get a rain delay with an NBA game.
Yeah, you're going to come.
I can talk baseball. That's fine.
You're going to come to the Coliseum and we'll do a rain delay game and I'll just sit there and let you go for 5 hours to cover the rain delay. That should be fun.
Let me tell you something. I got more baseball stories than the average man.
So the San Francisco Giants actually trying to get back on track. I mean, they did do well in L.A. And the one thing that I did mention about the Giants that they need to really focus on now at 11-18 and now heading on the road, it's all about winning series at this point. Because if you don't win series, you're going to find yourself, Steiny, below 500 by double-digit games. And by some point, when you do that, you're really in trouble.
Well, they have the worst record in the National League right now, Towny. And think about it this way. They have the worst record in the National League, and Matt Cain's pitching well. So what if Matt Cain weren't pitching well? They have no Bumgarner. Samardzija is, you know what he is? He's a coin. He's a coin flip. Heads he stinks, tails he's okay. That's what you get with Samardzija. Tony, can you tell I'm not a Samardzija fan?
You shouldn't be.
I know.
As much as I like him, as I got to know him, Jeff Samardzija is not in the right role. He's being paid to be a starter, and a Giants apologist is going to say, well, he eats innings. Well, that's great. But you know where his best role is because of what his repertoire is? And as you saw at Dodger Stadium, when you saw the good Jeff Samardzija, where he had 8 of his 11 strikeouts on sliders, his truly best role is coming out of the bullpen.
Yeah, as a long reliever.
No, he can't.
Come on. He can't come in one or two innings in a stressful situation. You wouldn't trust him there.
He did it with the Chicago Cubs. This really is his best role. His ability just to come out and say, I'm letting it all loose, and I don't have to worry about having 3 different pitches. I'm just come out and throw as hard as I can, and I'm going to throw the slider, make it my strikeout pitch, because the split finger that he has, he can't throw consistently without it flattening out, and it's tough for him to get through the lineup at least 3 times without getting banged around. But he's getting paid to be a starter. God bless him. He got the money after having just a horrific year with the Chicago White Sox. But he's really miscast. His best, if you took money out of it and say, best case scenario for this player, it would be him coming out of the bullpen, and he could be pitching in high-leverage situations.
Well, I noticed you just said out of the bullpen. Can we at least agree that we'll eliminate him as a closer? Can we at least agree on that?
No, I wouldn't agree on
that. Oh, please. Let me tell you something. If Jeff Samardzija is closing for you, you stink. You stink as a team.
What about his stuff?
First of all, he's got one career save.
What would you
say? I don't like his mentality. I don't like his mentality as a reliever, especially.
He's a competitor.
He's a horse. He's an innings eater. Listen, you have to be able to, in that role as a closer, you have to be able to kind of bite the bullet every once in a while and fight a battle with a different player. He's just hell-bent on challenging every hitter that comes up against him. And sometimes you gotta let a guy go, or you gotta pitch around a guy to get to an easier bat. I don't like Samardzija.
I'll let it play out.
You don't have to let it play out. I wouldn't let that play out. For 3 seconds, Jeff Samardzija is a closer.
By the way, that's not my saying. I'm making fun of somebody there.
Good-naturedly.
He has the ability to punch people out. And obviously, as you said, this is not something he has done. He's only done it once, and it was in his first year, I believe. But he could gradually work in, because that's what you started to see in Chicago, is his ability to strike people out. And that's what you want in the back of your bullpen. You don't want balls put into play. You want guys getting punched out. Right now, 46 strikeouts and 39 in a third innings. He does have a tough guy mentality. It is a much tougher role than a lot of people want to believe. Getting those last 3 outs is so crucial. But if Jeff Samardzija at some point, if it doesn't work as a starter, where we've seen the ERA be so high already, it's at 5. But
yeah, that's not bad for him.
I could see him. I'm not saying it would work. I mean, I could definitely see him pitching in high-leverage situations out of the bullpen, which is also very, very key because he has that ability to get up there. And it's different when you're not pacing yourself when you come out of the pen.
True.
When you come out of the pen, you're on fire, baby. It's get up there and throw it as hard as you can and throw that slider as hard as you can, get as much bite on as you can, and punch people out. And that's what you do. That's what when you come in and the swing and miss kind of pitchers, relievers, I think he could be that guy. Now, he's not paid to be that guy, so it's not going to happen. But if you have to find the right role for him long term, and you start looking at his age and how long. But the good thing for him, and it's one of the reasons why you could see why the Giants were able to put a contract like out there for him, because you're not worried about the arm injury, is the fact that he didn't log all those miles on the arm like, let's say, a Sonny Gray did at Vanderbilt pitching in college, as he was a bullpen guy, because so much of the time he was in the fall in college baseball, everybody's pitching in the fall, he was playing college football. And then he comes up as a reliever, so he never really had to deal with high innings on that arm, so you can bank on him as he still gets a little bit older that he's still going to have a lot of bullets in the arm.
Yeah, he didn't become a starter till 2012. With the Chicago Cubs, but for his first 4 years, you're right, he didn't pitch more than 88 innings in a season. I don't know. I mean,
doesn't matter.
No, if somebody offered me Samardzija, I'd say, yeah, no thanks.
That's kind of comical.
Unless I needed a fifth starter, I don't want Jeff Samardzija. By the way, great text line. Jeff, so marginal. What? I like that. I like that. I got to tell you, that's from the 510. Yeah, not a Samardzija fan. He's 32.
Yeah,
he's 32, Townie.
Yeah.
32.
Don't forget, he played against Jamarcus Russell in the Sugar Bowl. That's how old he is. Notre Dame against LSU in the Sugar Bowl. It's a long time ago.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also a long time ago, but we will never forget it. There's certain things said in a press conference and at a podium that some people will never forget. Today is a very, very special anniversary. We'll talk about it right here. It's Townie, it's Steiny, it's 95.7 The Game.
Anybody tell you that I miss practice? If a coach say I miss practice and y'all hear it, then that's that. I mean, I might have missed one practice this year. But if somebody say he doesn't come to practice, it can be one practice. Out of all the practices this year, that's enough. If I can't practice, I can't practice, man. If I'm hurt, I'm hurt. I mean, simple as that. It ain't about that. I mean, it's not about that at all. You know what I'm saying? I mean, but it's easy to talk about. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. We sitting here, I'm supposed to be the franchise player, and we're in here talking about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. Not a game, not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man. I mean, how silly is that, man? We're talking about practice. I know I'm supposed to be there. I know I'm supposed to lead by example. I know that. And I'm not shoving it aside, you know, like it don't mean anything. I know it's important. I do. I honestly do. But we talking about practice, man. What are we talking about? Practice? We're talking about practice, man. We're talking about practice. We ain't talking about the game. We're talking about practice, man. When you come into the arena and you see me play, don't you?
Absolutely.
You see me give everything I got, right?
Absolutely.
But we talking about practice right now.
But it's an issue that you're
coming. We're talking about practice. Man, I hear you. It's funny to me, too. I mean, it's strange to me too. But we talking about practice, man. We're not even talking about the game, the actual game, when it matters. We talking about practice.
Not you would be better, but your teammates.
How the hell can I make my teammates better by practice?
That's the best right there. How the hell can I make my teammates better by practicing?
You know what? He's exactly right. He's exactly right. He can't help his teammates in practice. He can't do the work for him. He can't put in the work. He's put in the work. He put in the work his whole life. And I agree. In the NBA, practice is about 1/10 as important as the games. It's not like college where it's kind of as important. They barely even practice in the NBA. Once the season starts, it's basically just to show up and be accounted for. Get some work in, get some shots up, lift some weights, get a sweat going. People act as though NBA practices are these two and a half hour disciplined, hardworking, scrimmage oriented. They're not. Not anything like that. They're a piece of cake for the most part. What?
Okay. that's good. Now, the thing that people don't tell
you
about.
15 years ago today.
Is that he left the facility. Tell me if I'm correct. He left the facility, went somewhere and had some cocktails, then came back to do that. So he was feeling himself after a few drinks when he took the podium that day.
I don't know if that's ever been confirmed by Iverson. I know there was a story about that. I will say this. That doesn't matter because he's the same guy regardless. He would have done that sober. He would have done that with eight in him because that's the way he was. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it was good stuff.
What else we got?
How about our guy who lives in Monterey, plays golf with Clint Eastwood? We love the coach on ESPN, Herm Edwards back in the day. Nobody's ever going to forget this.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You play to win. And I don't care if you don't have any wins. You go play to win. When you start telling me it doesn't matter, then retire. Get out. Because it matters.
Hello? I would have loved to have covered him because we've interviewed him so many times now and you got to meet him. He's such a good guy, really nice man. But I would have, because I've heard whether you were in New York or in Kansas City that covering Herm Edwards, because, you know, you get to know him and, he's not one of these guys who thinks that everything's a certain secret and he's going to treat everybody like an ass. He's a funny guy. It would have been great to cover somebody like that.
I'd have much rather covered Iverson. Herm Edwards is PG. Iverson's, he's NC-17?
You kind of did cover a guy like Iverson.
Who?
Wouldn't that be Monte Ellis?
Please. Please. Monte Ellis didn't have the personality Iverson had.
Do we need to go back to the Las Vegas summer school?
No.
Las Vegas?
No, we don't.
Basketball where you went down to
Which reminds me, I forgot to say hello to him when he was in town the other day, Monte Ellis.
By the way, I
probably don't even remember who I am. I can't remember the details, but that Iverson practice, there was something going on with his personal life, too. I think he had a friend who had just passed or just been killed. There was other stuff off the court. I don't want to get bogged down in that, but I'll take a look because I know there was extraneous stuff going on with that thing.
Was that Larry Brown?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
How do I make my teammates better if I practice?
It's true.
Now, if you're a college football fan, this next rant is one of the greatest of all time. This guy at one point was the quarterback when Barry Sanders was the running back and winning the Heisman Trophy at Oklahoma State. Then later takes over the program. He's been head coach for years, a ton of success. And there was an article written about one of his players, and there was issues with this player in the program. And Mike Gundy was not happy with the coverage of this one player in his program. Now think about this. Before you hear Mike Gundy, his team has just won the game. This is after an Oklahoma State Cowboy win. Coach, take it away.
Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. Write something about me or our coaches. We'll write about a kid that does everything right, that's heart's broken, and then say that the coaches said he was scared. That ain't true. And then to say that we made that decision because Donovan Woods, because he threatened to transfer, that's not true. So get your facts straight. And I hope someday you have a child and somebody downgrades him and belittles him and you have to look him in the eye and say, you know what? It's okay. They're supposed to be mature adults, but they're really not. Who's the kid here? Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me? That's all I got to say. It makes me want to puke.
We've left some stuff out. And one of the best parts, he goes, and he had this kid, and they call him fat. He went off, and this was all. You got to go see that. YouTube the whole rant. It is one of the great rants of all time. And then you have to remember, this is after a win.
Fat?
Hey, big-time college athletics. You got to be able to play with the big boys.
It's one of those things that these guys are in small towns, but the universities are king. Universities are the big breadwinner for the towns. They're the biggest thing in the state. You know, that's why when the whole Penn State thing went down, Joe Paterno was one of the most powerful men in the state of Pennsylvania. I mean, you look at what happened down in Oklahoma with Barry Switzer. No one in the state of Oklahoma. And even now, when you look at, you know, in our world, oh, it's Kevin Durant and it's Westbrook. Oh, what a big deal. They're not as big as Bob Stoops and the Oklahoma Sooners. I mean, college football in these certain areas are huge. We got to get to a couple more. There's a couple more that are really good that we left out. We're going to do that right here on 95.7 The Game.
I would rather play with 10 people and just get penalized all the way until we got to do something else rather than play with 11 when I know that right now that person is not sold out to be a part of this team. It is more about them than it is about the team. I cannot play with them. Cannot win with them. Cannot coach with them. Can't do it. I want winners. I want people that want to win.
Oh, remember how everybody was sold on Samurai Mike?
Heck of a coach.
Hook,
heck of a coach.
Line and sinker. Everybody was buying him. I'll never forget being by the podium. I was right next to Matt Maiocco.
When he was doing that?
This was a different time.
Gotcha.
It was after the game because his crutch after games when he could not answer the questions was, got to check the tape. Got to look at the tape. He did it like 18 times. It's like,
well,
hey, coach, were you on the sidelines for the game? Did you actually watch the game? Like, you're telling me as a guy who at least was a Hall of Fame player and known as like a brilliant inside linebacker who read the game, saw the game, called the game for Buddy Ryan's defense. Like, you don't see anything when you're on the sidelines. You got to wait for the tape. That's alarm bells were flying right there.
Well, on the positive side, he did wear one of the largest crosses I've ever seen in my entire life. That wooden cross. I mean, that thing was huge. I'd say that thing was, about 6 inches by 4 inches? That was a big, big cross.
That was a good one.
You know what? Here's my thing. How does a guy who wears a cross like that then, at halftime of a football game, pull his pants down in an effort to motivate his team. Remember he did that too? Give me a break.
Was that during the game or was that after the game?
I think, well, it was either at halftime or right after the game. Yeah. Either way. That's something to put on your tombstone. That's something to be proud of.
How about before him was Mike Nolan? Like, Mike Nolan comes in and he looked the part, right? I mean, he's a guy who was a terrific defensive coordinator with the Ravens. He came in and he looked like the guy. And then all of a sudden, he wanted to wear a suit like his father.
Yeah.
Dick Nolan, who coached the team in, God, I want to say the late 60s, early 70s, right around in there. And, of course, that wasn't allowed because they have an apparel deal.
Mm-hmm.
So Reebok had to make him a suit, and the suit looked so cheesy.
What?
Yes, it looked awful.
See, I thought he was very well-dressed. And there's another reason that I'm a big fan of Nolan. Terrific suntan. An absolutely flawless suntan. He did.
Kind of like, it's what people say a lot about you.
I know. But see, I'm half Italian, all right?
So it's natural.
It's absolutely natural. Somebody the other day asked me, do you use a tanning bed?
Gianna, I think that was at pick six. Someone threw that out.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it might have been, actually.
You know, we haven't even addressed today what you did to Gianna yesterday.
What Shiny did to me? Oh, right.
When I threw a sugar packet at her?
What it was one of the... I want to talk about unprofessional. It was
very
unprofessional.
It was very unprofessional.
You know what? At the end of yesterday's show, I'm not kidding, I felt like I was supervising children. That's what it felt like being out there with all you guys yesterday.
Well, what put us over the top was Carrie Keating running into a sign with his head.
And you could hear it.
That's a fact.
You heard the, like, clunk.
He hit his head on a sign.
He
was on the phone, not paying attention. He was walking. It was incredible. Well, it was incredible. Everybody looked at him. And actually, the sugar packet that accidentally hit Gianna was meant... Yes, it was meant for Townie.
Oh.
Because he left all his sugar packets and his sweet and low on my workstation out at the arena when we're in the Champions Plaza.
So Townie, who was sitting like nowhere near me...
Well, those sugar packets, they don't travel well. I thought I could throw it about 9 feet. It only went about 4.5 feet.
Well, of course, I was the one and only professional person out there representing 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, he threw a little two-seamer and it had a little movement on it. And
first one was all right.
I would have loved, if I could have had a camera to see Steinmetz's reaction to when he actually hits you, Gianna.
Right, in the middle of me talking.
That's right. Gianna was doing a live read, too.
Yes, I was.
And it was a OS bomb moment, the look on his face. All right, we got it. Let's get to David Fizdale. After we hear from Fizdale, I want the reaction from Matt Steinmetz. Let's hear from him.
You know, it's unfortunate that I got a guy like Mike Conley who in his whole career has got zero technical fouls and just cannot seem to get the proper respect from the officials that he deserves. It was a very poorly officiated basketball game. Zach Randolph, the most rugged guy in the game, had zero free throws, but somehow Kawhi Leonard had 19 free throws. First half, we shot 19 shots in the paint, and we had 6 free throws. They shot 11 times in the paint, and they had 23 free throws. I'm not a numbers guy, but that doesn't seem to add up. Overall, 35 times we shot the ball in the paint. We had 15 free throws for the game. They shot 18 times in the paint and had 32 free throws. Kawhi shot more free throws than our whole team. Explain it to me. We don't get the respect that these guys deserve because Mike Conley doesn't go crazy. He has class, and he just plays the game. But I'm not going to let them treat us that way. You know, I know Pop's got pedigree, and I'm a young rookie, but they're not going to rook us. That's unacceptable. That was unprofessional. My guys dug in that game and earned the right to be in that game, and they did not even give us a chance. Take that for data.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I loved it up until the very end. He mispronounced the word. It's officially data. That's the way, what's her name? Merriam-Webster, that wonderful lady who's a wordsmith.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of
data.
Her.
The word's data, David. Data. Take that for data. Actually, it sounds better data.
It sounds way better data.
It does sound better data.
Kind of a tomato.
Sure, sure.
So.
Take that for data.
I love it.
You know, I know how he feels because I got into this big argument a while back. And when the Yankees were really rolling and the Yankees were good, it was just when you played against them, it was just their strike zone and the calls were different. And I remember even getting into this with Shooty Babbitt, and Shooty was like, well, Downey, it's the Yankees. And I was like, well, what does that mean? So you're telling me that the strike zone and calls are different for one team than the other team? Well, isn't that a rigged card game?
Well, what's the difference between people nowadays who say, for an MVP, Steph Curry doesn't get any calls from the officials? What's the difference?
Oh, I think that's... you know better than I. I mean, that's wrong.
Be who you are instead of trying to be somebody else.
When you're saying, well, this guy's a star, so we're going to call the game. He's going to get all the breaks and all the help because he's a star, and you're not going to get the same break. Well, wait, what? That's just not right. Whatever, a foul should be a foul. A strike should be a strike. I mean, it's just when you start giving people advantages – now you start looking, okay, how really is this game? Is this a rigged game? And I know people don't like that. That makes people uncomfortable. And the star treatment's been going on forever. But that's a flaw.
Well, I have a little different interpretation of what they call star treatment, because I actually don't think that the officials give superstars preferential treatment. What I think happens is that the superstars just happen to be involved in most of the plays, and superstars, for the most part, are aggressive, and they put the onus on the official to make a call or not make a call. And most of the time, or a percentage of the time, they make a call. But I think it's just because I'm watching the Cleveland Cavaliers game right now. LeBron James has the ball in his hand all the time. I mean, he's going to get fouled more. He's going to get called. They're going to get called for more fouls against him.
Well, let's talk a little basketball. The interim head coach of the Golden State Warriors, Mike Brown, is going to join us. So we'll see what he has to say. I mean, hearing about Kerr going from Stanford to Duke kind of scares me. And then also just how the Utah Jazz are playing. But first, before we do that, go ahead, Stein.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 9 to noon, to hear yours truly, Matt Steinmetz, and John Dickinson for the NBA this week. You know it. That's 9 to 12. And that's brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink. Klay Thompson, obsessed with bringing the title back to the Bay. And he switched to Body Armor Sports Drink for superior hydration. A hydration sensation, as Tim Roy would say. So head to Safeway and make the switch today.
95.7 the game.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.